I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/AndysGirls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/AndysGirls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. And we're back.
So, you know, I'm not Shayna's biggest fan. But it is very, I don't know, it's great that to see her as the star of the show, kind of. Like, to me, she's always been a side character that annoyed me. But, like, she is the central force on the show right now. And I think that she is stronger than the cast is giving her credit for, because I'm thinking about myself as like a regular person. And if I had like this huge issue with this person and their partner, like Alexis, if there was an Alexis in my life, I could not be in the room with them. Mm. I could not sit at a table with them. And then just the gall of Alexis feeling like she is owed a conversation to just walk up to her and was like, can we talk? And Shannon like holding her ground, like, no, we can't. I'm not talking to you. But like in a way that's still like professional, like, yes, we are on this show together. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say all the things that I would say. It was like just sort of this quiet kind of mature, like, no, I'm not talking to you. Goodbye. Like, I don't owe you any conversation. Yeah, it's like a Shannon that I didn't really know before. I hate that all the stuff is happening to her, but I feel like she is a lot stronger of a person than I realized from other seasons, because she always seems so off kilter to me. Like the wide swings in her emotions and I hate when people argue and like the argument is lost because they are so escalated, mm-hmm. and I can't get behind that kind of character. So yeah, just a different side of Shannon. I was like, okay, I see you a little more for who you are as a person and like who you are as a mom and the way that her kids are supporting her through what she went through means that like, oh, your kids love you. Like you were a great mom because they are giving you grace. And a lot of parents can't say that. Like they make a mistake and then, you know, get their faces rubbed in it. I was like, oh no, your daughters are giving you grace. They're taking it very maturely. Like, yes, you are owed mistakes. So I don't know. I think it's a good showing of Shannon, of who she is as a person.
I think the like LOL that people say, and I understand why they say it, is like the whole thing with Shannon is that she's never had a good season and she's always in a state of sort of spiral, or mm-hmm. she often seems that way. And I just think about Shannon and like what we didn't really know about her relationship with David. And I just kind of wonder to myself, wouldn't it be somewhat ironic if at some point in time she reveals more about the relationship publicly than maybe we were aware, for someone who people like to mock or genuinely illustrate as someone who is constantly in despair. Like, I wonder what the things are that may or may not be going on in Shannon's life that we actually don't know about, and how that impacts our perception of her. Because like, there is to me a little bit of an irony just in my own projections. I've just been thinking about her relationship with David, because there's been stuff that's gone on with him and his current mm-hmm. wife, who's he's either with or estranged or right. divorcing or something else. It seems like they have an incredibly chaotic relationship. And I'm not comparing theirs to Shannon's. Very different people, and David at a different point in his life. But just to say, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in time we find out, or don't, because she wants to protect herself, her happiness, her stability, and her certainly her kids, that there would to me be something sort of fascinating about the, okay, well, you thought she was maybe easily triggered or really easily upset. Well, here's some clarity here right. on maybe the steps that it took to kind of get to that point, which we don't need to know if that even exists. I mean,
or if she just, if she wants to, I feel like out of all of the housewives, especially like on OC specifically, if anybody was going to write a tell-all, I would want to read Shannon.
100%.
Out of anybody else's. Mm-hmm. Like I, because I don't really know how she got to this point, mm-hmm. and like with the crystals in the teeth and the, like, yeah. How did you get
when
here?
When did that start?
Yeah, like where did this come from?
That's a great question.
So yeah, just interested more in who she is, and I think that little red confessional outfit is like a top 10 confessional look.
Oh, with the like, yes. Was it like the little tie? And it's like very cinched. I can't believe you saw it. How did you even get to see it?
Because sometimes I eat dinner while I watch.
Wow. Oh my God. Yeah. You should be so thankful.
I sure did. Okay. I watch dinner while I watch.
Yeah, she looks great.
Yes. I'm like, oh my gosh, she looks so good. And I love her hair and like perfect style. And I'm just like, how can you come out looking so fabulous on the same show where Gina wore that?
But Gina
is fabulous, she's great, but I just don't know why her stylists don't like her more.
It's just that one look, though. The Gina, the metallic, that's the only real bad one from this season.
Oh, from this season, yes. But yeah, I'm saying,
we can't
like,
go back in time. We can't go back.
No,
we
I'm just
go
saying,
back.
Like, cumulatively,
yeah.
This is, like, the worst of a person who has had bad looks.
Yeah.
So why are we still here? Like, why are we still at this point? Because you know, at this point, like, Gina and Emily have been on the show as long as NeNe's first run.
That's
right.
Wild.
I know. It's like, so why are we still fighting with the stylist at this point?
That feels...
They have been on for so long.
They have been on for so long. But also, you know what I was thinking about? Because as you know, I rewatched and I... use my eyes. Behind those eyes, I rewatched the most recent OC episode, which for at least the fifth time this morning, to jog my memory and all of my senses. Mm-hmm. They're already heightened because it's, you know, a season focused on Shan. But I was watching the Katie Gina of it all, and I just found myself thinking, like, has anyone ever accused Gina of being show strategic? hasn't the universal criticism of Gina been like, she's not a good, great a right. fit for the show, which I would argue she's doing great work and I like her on the show. Right. So like, that's not something I still feel, but I certainly felt it when she first joined. But I don't know that that has ever been said ever. So I'm not saying she can't change, but it's just so wild that the current presentation from Katie and Tamra is like, Gina's just playing the game too hard. Right. I'm like, that has never happened.
Like,
she
doesn't even know what the game is. Like, she's just living and hanging on by like the skin of her teeth. Or, you know, like maybe she has gotten a little comfortable, got a little money. She has time to play the game now.
I don't think she does. Does she seem like someone who's like, she seems like the exact opposite of a Tamra type.
Right.
Even a Shannon type, like just having conversations about the show. Gina seems like someone who's like, listen, I'm just trying to make my way through life. Right. Like, I got a lot of shit going on. Like, Travis is taking up a lot of fucking time. Like, he's taking up so much time, but we still have no energy, no information rather, on what's going on, nope. Which I'm sure is going to be discussed at the reunion or not. Like, it's just like, she does not give me like, ooh, let's conspire to.
She's like, she doesn't have time. There are like seven kids in her orbit and literally, like many adults. There is an ex and an ex's new lady. Are they married? Her ex? Did her ex get married to the girlfriend or not?
No, but they're like in a commitment.
Yeah, so it's it's got them fiancés, and then you got Travis engaged. And then like Travis's baby mama is causing drama and we got all the kids and we got Casitas and Doritas and I don't know. She likes snacks. And so it's just like, wow, there's a lot going on in this lady's life and now she sells houses. So
and also, I hope Heather Dubrow, not that I'm blaming Heather, but I hope that she throws Gina a little billionaire as a like, I'm so sorry that I said on camera I was never going to help you with your career.
Right.
And that Tamra responded with like pleasure dripping from her mouth.
You know what? I still did not see, because you know in that cutback to Tamra and Katie talking. Mm-hmm. And so.
Did you say I still didn't see? Are we going to let that go?
Well, listen. I still didn't hear the part where. Like Katie said all of that. Katie said half of what Tamra said.
So I did
Where's
think that.
Where's the rest of it?
Okay, I did think did that the first it? Four times that I watched. But then when I watched again this morning, because I thought Tamra was pulling a lot of stuff out of her ass. But then during one of those flashbacks, Katie does say what Tamra said. Like what Tamra said of like, she's just using you for LinkedIn. Like that, what Tamra put a little zhuzh on it, but not a big one. Like I would be fine blaming Tamra, but I actually don't think in that case, I think Katie laid the groundwork of like, she was just doing this for, so you would introduce her to contacts. And then when they had the sit down at the brunch, she was like, no, she just said that you were like supportive of whatever, but also the Altmans. Like,
I feel like there's a way to color. I feel like the way that Gina would have said it to her friend, like said it to Katie, isn't like, I'm only friends with Heather because I need her contacts. It's like, this is a bonus of being friends with Heather. And it's like, yeah, like she's my friend. And like, it doesn't seem like, because they were friends before she was selling houses.
But why would you, here's the thing. Either it happened or it didn't.
Oh, I think it fully was said, but I don't think it was said in a way that's like, where she's using Heather. I feel like they want to make it seem like Gina is only friends with Heather.
They meaning Katie and Tamra.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like they are trying to paint this picture to Heather that Gina is only friends with you because of what you can do for her.
Right.
And I don't feel like that's accurate. I feel like they were already friends. And then it's also like a bonus of being friends with Heather is that X.
But
it's like one of my friends who cooks all the time. I'm not friends with her just because she cooks. But yeah, if we weren't friends anymore, I would miss the home cooked meals.
But if that's not a conversation that Gina and Heather are actually having, like if Heather, and I'm not, this is not a criticism of Heather, but like if Heather hasn't helped Gina in real estate, it is a weird thing to say. It is a thing you say when you're talking about a possible connection who you're someone you're friends with, but also is fucking rich AF and does have a dossier of contacts she could introduce Gina to. But if they've never talked about it, then that does not make any sense. And the only people who know that are Gina and Heather.
I don't think it doesn't make sense because, like, if I'm friends with Oprah, I'm not going to talk about how much money Oprah has and that, like, I hope Oprah uses her contacts. But I may talk to my friends like, yeah, I'm friends with Oprah. Like, you know, I might get invited to the Emmys one day. I didn't say that to Oprah, but I might. And it might be something that I would say to another friend about my friend Oprah, who has all these connections. But saying it to Oprah would be awkward because now I'm putting Oprah in a position to like, you now need to like produce for me. And it puts something in the friendship where it's like, oh, it feels kind of icky. Like you want to use my connections. And it's not that I want to use her connections. It's just like, this is a thing that might happen. And I'm talking to another friend about it. Like it's an exciting thing because Gina's in this new field where her friendship with Heather could make her career better. It's exciting. It's like, yeah, I entered into this new field. Oh, and I have this rich friend. I might get a boost. Like, that's just something you would talk about with somebody else, but you wouldn't talk about it with Heather.
But the way it's being presented is not as a possibility in the future. It's a, this right. is why.
And so we don't know because we don't know what the conversation was. And we know that Katie likes to put a little extra on her conversations.
She definitely
and then
does.
Tamara definitely does. So if you take those 2 degrees of exaggeration, I fully believe whatever Gina said to Katie was innocent.
Yeah.
So I'm taking Katie's side because Gina. I'm taking Gina's side. I'm taking Gina's side because I don't feel like I've never gotten that sense from her on the show that she is nasty like that.
So here's my question. Do you think that Katie knows that she's exaggerating? If she is.
No, okay. I don't think so. I think that's her personality type.
Is extra.
Yeah. Just like
a little manipulative.
Like my favorite confessional. And I saw this on Twitter. By the way, is where she was like having that conversation with Heather. And in the conversation, Heather's hands are not up at all. But in the confessional, Katie's like, like waving the hand. Like, and I was like, that didn't actually happen. That's just the way she retold the story. That's the way it happened in her head and the way it came back out. So I think she just naturally puts a little gas on it.
Well, as we know from the hot dog accord, when Katie's like, I know that you have hot dogs because I watched a prior season in which you joked about eating one once at one point in your adult life. She does seem to use the history of Heather's time on the show and everyone else's as a way to engage in her relationships with them or try to drag someone. So I don't know how much of this is osmosis versus Katie preparing versus Katie being a Bravo-holic. There was just something about the way that it was described by Katie to Tamara, then obviously by Tamara to Heather, of like, she is using you, that when it was then the look of confusion on Heather's face, I think is one that many of us felt of like, you know, she's just saying you support her, which is not a bad thing.
Right.
But Gina's reaction to that of like, but I never even said that, makes me feel like something is happening here that does feel like it has to be intentional, because how do you go from saying, when someone's holding you accountable and saying, what exactly did Gina say to you? And you go, you know, she's really supportive of her career. And also, aren't you going to work for the Altmans? That doesn't, it's not connecting to me with what she told Tamara privately and what she told us in a confessional. It's so, you know, separate from that.
Even after all these years of watching Housewives.
Listening.
Even after all these years of listening to Housewives, I still, for the most part, don't believe people make things up out of thin air. I think they hear something and interpret it in a way that comes out differently. I don't think people just make up stuff. I think whatever Gina said was interpreted by Katie to mean one thing. But whatever Gina said was either not important enough to her to remember that she said it, or whatever she said didn't mean what Katie interpreted. I think whatever conversation was had with Katie about selling real estate and having rich friends, whether Heather was named or not, but whatever conversation they were talking about selling real estate and having rich friends was interpreted by Katie to mean that Heather is going to help you with your career, and was told to Tamara as she's friends with Heather to help her with career. Like, that's what I think happened.
But the other part of this that then makes it look worse for Katie is the other part of what she's accusing Gina of, which was helping conspire how Gina would present this stuff on camera.
I think that Katie is being taken for a ride by the Tamara production of it all, because there was no conspiracy about that. It was basically like, you go tell her yourself or I will tell her. It, to me, it's like the whole like a Candy school of, we're on a television show, she's gonna find out, so just tell her now as opposed to later. Because, you know, that's the way Candy always was. Like, you couldn't tell Candy a secret because she's like, there's cameras here, I'm just gonna tell them now, why will I wait to the reunion? they're gonna see him. And I feel like Gina was like a regular, normal person in that aspect. It was like, well, this thing is out, and so Heather's going to find out, so you need to go and tell her, because if she finds out at the end of the season from watching the show and I didn't tell her, that's gonna make me look bad. So you tell her or I will. It's not like you tell her because I want to make you look bad. It was like, no, this stuff is out there. She's gonna see it. We're on TV. And so I don't want Heather to know that I sat on this. So like, yeah, go tell her.
But the way that has been changed to like Tamra. Yes, I do think Tamra. I'm sorry, but Katie saying, oh God, that was a slip. But like Katie.
It's Tamra's fault.
It is. It's partially Tamra's fault, but I also think Katie bears responsibility in this. I don't know, because Tamra's running with stuff, but I don't know that she that she fully created some of it.
Tamra
I don't know
has where time Tamra to create. And Katie ends. Tamra has time to sit and plot. Tamra she don't have to anything to do in her house. Like, so she thinks about the relationships and what she can say and what she can plan. I fully believe that she does that in her spare time. And I feel like she set those wheels in motion for Katie to fully believe that Gina set her up. And so now Katie is going with this narrative that Gina set her up. And Gina's not handling it very well.
Well, Gina's not handling anything ever. Her life is spiraling.
That's true. She's the new Shannon. Big reactions. Big reactions. Lots of spiraling.
Gina. Are we passing the baton?
We are passing the baton.
You know what? This is great for her. It means she has job security. Shannon's not going anywhere anytime. If Shannon leaves the show, it's going to be because she decides to.
Gina always feels like she's on the cusp of getting fired for some reason, but she's not.
She's not, though. She's not.
She's totally fine, but I always feel like, will she get renewed? And then when she gets renewed, I was like, well, of course she's getting renewed.
Poor Gina. But you know what? Can someone just tell her, like, you don't have to tell us, but like, you know, tell me. Like, just even at mid-season, just be like, Gina, you're okay. You have a job. But that might negatively impact her job performance. We need her to be desperate. Right, yes, we need her to be freaking
working.
Out.
Yes, she needs to keep working. Clocking in early. But yeah, she always is like, I need to keep this check for my new casita.
I really like her.
I like her too. I think.
When did that happen?
I never disliked her.
I can't say that.
I didn't think she was she wasn't like a great housewife.
Yeah, no, I thought she was bad at this. Yeah. I thought she was actively bad at this.
But I liked her. Like, if I was going to make a list of like housewives I would hang out with, I was like, I would have a drink with Gina over a lot of people.
Who else would you hang out with?
From the OC? Ooh, Heather.
Absolutely. And she would always pick up the check. And I really appreciate and respect that.
Always enjoy that. But don't tell her that. We're not using her for her check picking up ability.
No, but I would expect that every single time. I'm so sorry.
So, yes, I would love to have a drink with Heather. And that may be it from that cast.
Wait, do we think that Heather would be asking to split the check?
No.
No, she would just pick it up. Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure.
No.
Because like, when she and I become best friends, I just need to make sure.
Completely generous.
Okay.
Side note about Heather. For some reason, I watched a documentary about the Swan. I did not realize Terry Dubrow was one of the surgeons on the Swan.
Where was the documentary?
On YouTube. It's a Dark Side of the 90s. I think it's Hulu or whatever, but they had it was a Vice. It was a Vice documentary about the Swan. It's 45 minutes. It's on, the full episode is on the Vice channel on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize he was the main surgeon on the Swan.
He was.
Had no idea. But yeah, he's giving, like, they actually got him to give interviews about it, like currently. So he was filmed for talking about it in the past. And so he was talking about it. He was like, you know, I feel comfortable enough to say some of that. I feel like some of the stuff he said, he wouldn't have said earlier in his career, but he's so comfortable to be able to say the Swan was bad and we shouldn't have done it.
Thank God. Yeah. Okay, I was just about to ask you. He's not proud of that, mm-mm, right?
Nope.
Can you describe the Swan for AGs who have taste?
So the Swan was a Fox reality show back in like the early days of competition reality where they were throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks. And they had women apply to this program where they would improve their lives. So the thing that we ended up seeing was a beauty pageant of women who had extensive plastic surgery, and they picked the one who was the prettiest afterwards. Like, which of the ugly ducklings turned into a swan? The women applying did not know they were applying for a beauty pageant.
No.
And some of them applied because the application was about like career like skills and life skills and therapy. And they had no idea when they got into it that it was so heavily focused on tons and tons of plastic surgery. So some of the women came back too, like the contestants, like the top three from the beauty pageant, come back to talk about it. Like, you're making that face, so I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, don't tell me. Don't spoil it.
But you won't be making that face at the end of the documentary.
Because I'm going to be so sad.
Nope.
Because right now I'm horrified.
Yeah, but you will come out of it. Yes. Like, hearing the women talk about it themselves.
Okay.
Even hearing what they went through, like hearing about, like, would they do it again kind of thing.
Okay.
So it does feel better watching it, like watching them talk about their own experience as opposed to like putting sort of our lens on it. Cause I watched it when it was out 20 years ago and didn't realize it was as bad as it is until I got older and looking back. But I'm looking back on somebody else's experience and looking at it through a lens that they don't have. They went through it and they're okay with it. So very interesting watch. It covers a lot of ground in 45 minutes. I highly recommend it.
Okay, I'm absolutely going to watch it. I forgot or didn't know that there was a beauty pageant. I remembered they got plastic surgery and then they weren't allowed to see what they looked like.
Yeah,
and
one of them got kicked out because she had a little mirror. And so they kicked her out. But yeah, they weren't allowed to see themselves until the big reveal. So
that
they
could
get like big reactions. And they were told like, big reaction, let's film it again. Like that, the TV stuff. And then they had a beauty pageant. And they had a winner of the swan that won money. So, and then they did a second season, I think. I think they did two seasons.
Did the contestants have any say on like, no, I like my nose, like, or I don't want big boobs.
So
like,
yes and no.
Oy vey.
So they all could have said no at any time to any of the surgeries, but a lot of them didn't realize they could. And so they went along with it. But some of them really stood firm. Like one woman was like, they tried to give her a nose job and she's like, no, because like my daughters have this nose. Like my dad has this nose. Like I'm keeping the nose.
Love that.
Like, so some of them were able to stand their ground a little more. And some of them had also realized by then that it was going to be a beauty pageant. And they wanted to win because it's like, I've never won anything like a beauty pageant. I'm going to do everything that these people tell me because I want to win this thing. Or it's also like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to have world class, you know, care and stuff. And like, so if they tell me this is wrong with me, then I should fix it while I'm here because I'll never have this chance ever again. So some of them went along with things that they didn't originally think were wrong with them. So.
There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfest. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year. And in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndysGirls through December 31. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji Water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji Water. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/Andy's Girls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
But yeah, it's an interesting watch. And Terry is there. He's very honest about his experience on the show. And like, it could have been worse. Mm-hmm. they wanted to give them even more surgery in a shorter amount of time. And he said that he did more surgery in 2 weeks than he would do in a year.
That's gross.
Yeah. So
that's not great. I'm appreciative or thankful or whatever the appropriate word is that he dismissive or demeaning or something, but that was not great.
Like, he came to the same realization that the rest of us were, but you know, 20 years ago he was in the spot that most of us were when we were watching. I was like, yeah, this will be a great show. So
that actually reminds me of something that I have been thinking about now and again, which is like, when I think of moments that aired originally and were like big moments but not necessarily dragged to hell, criticized, like for example on the OC track Naked Wasted. And I think of the way that people talk about that now, which is like, this is incredibly problematic. Yes. This woman was not at a point of being able to give consent, and she was in a committed relationship, and you are encouraging your weird fucking son mm-hmm. to like be in a bathroom with her because you think this is fun and you think it's going to be drama. But a lot of that drama is going to deal with what is physically happening to this drunk lady that you hate. I think about the way that was received by people when it first aired, which had to be probably around 15 years ago. And from my memory, which is somewhat limited, very limited, to remember how people received it, because we didn't have this community.
Right.
We didn't have
I don't remember anything online about it.
I don't remember anything about it, except it was this moment that became, quote unquote, Naked Wasted.
Right.
And I just kind of wonder, for some people, they might watch that moment, and this isn't a criticism, and just be like, that was just a crazy moment. You can project onto it or draw from it whatever you want based on your experiences and interpretations and, frankly, just your opinion at the end of the day. But I just wonder, because there are a lot of people now who are having the conversation of, like, that was really problematic. How much of that is based on where we are as a society and like the conversations that we're having about women, consent, alcohol, binge drinking, manipulations for the pursuit of reality TV drama and or just basic revenge, how much of that is happening because of how we have, some of us have changed the ways that we think of reality TV and talk about it, and how much of that is just a result of like the audience aging. Where I was 15 years younger, so I was obviously 11 when it originally aired, because I am now 26, as we mm-hmm. all know, spiritually mid 20s plus, as you are as well. Mm-hmm. So how much of that is based on just us growing and maybe maturing and seeing a different experience play out, because we're technically, allegedly, spiritually older people versus our society? Is it one or the other?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with the maturity of the viewer.
Okay.
Like, so me watching it 15 years ago and me now being a more mature person isn't why I look at that differently. It's the maturation of society as a whole. Okay. Because an 11-year-old watching that now will react badly to it, because this 11-year-old has grown up in a more mature society where that's not okay.
That's a great point.
So I don't think it has to do with like our individual ages. It's like, no, society grew up past this point to where we can have these conversations now where that wasn't okay. So we have like a whole generation of, for better or worse, we've had a generation of people who have grown up talking about these things, and it has made wild swings among Gen Z toward being like sex positive and queer acceptance, toward puritanical behavior where they don't even want sex scenes in movies. So there's this, the conversations are happening so much all the time everywhere with no guidance toward the conversations and no focus, that you get these wild swings, which is good because they're talking about it more. So like the conversations about consent are great, but it's so much for them to handle that they come to some very wrong conclusions a lot of the times about like autonomy and what you should be able to do with your own body and being sex positive. Like a lot of it has swung in the other direction as a result of the conversations, because they're not being guided by any forces. They're talking to each other in these bubbles on TikTok. And so if you land in the Puritan TikTok bubble where, you know, sex is special or sex is bad, or, you know, no kink at Pride, if you land in one of those bubbles, then you keep spiraling in this bubble where sex is this bad, scary thing. If you land in one of the more free thought kind of TikTok bubbles, and that's what you're consuming, then you're more like, okay, like I do have autonomy as a person, and I can explore, and I can be on the spectrum of queerness, and like the labels don't matter. And, you know, we're all people and we can do what we want and experience things that a few generations ago wouldn't be thought of. Like you have high school guys now who are way more apt to identify as like questioning than they were in my generation because of the conversations that we've had around acceptance and like, this is fine. And the K-pop ones are the ones that really get me, because like I look at their little comments on the little K-pop boy bands, and the way the girls react to the guys who are a little more feminine is not a way that they would have reacted when I was younger. Like, they have crushes on these boys. They call them baby girl. And it's like, oh yeah, he's the cutesy one. There's a specific video that I just saw.
Is this on TikTok?
This was on Instagram, actually.
Oh, okay.
So Netflix had that show, Pop Star Academy, where they built the girl group.
I haven't seen it.
Fantastic. I highly recommend.
I need to watch it. Thank you for saying that, because yeah, I needed a good watch this
You can,
week.
After you watch it, read my review. Because it's really in depth.
Okay.
Because I had some problems with the last half
Come
of
back,
the show.
We'll do a taking it personally about it after. Okay. How many episodes is it?
It is 8 episodes. So it breezes hour? Right through.
Okay.
Yeah, between like 45 minutes to an hour.
I just did that with Mormon, so it's fine. Right. I can do it. I can make
good.
The time. Yeah.
So anyway, so they have a music video out, and the choreography is kind of viral. So a lot of people do the choreography. And these are six young teen girls. So they're, you know, very, very girly and cutesy with it. Whenever guys do the choreography, they don't do the feminine moves. Like, they make them more butch. Like, they don't want to do the little hip swivels and the cute things. So there's this one boy, he's in a K-pop boy band, and he does the choreography exactly the way the girls did. And all the comments was like, I knew he wouldn't let us down. Baby girl is here for us. And I was like, I love him so much. And it's just like, all of these girls are like, yes, we were waiting on the boy to come and do the choreography like the girls do it. Like, there is no reason for you to try to butch it up for us. It's like, we wanted this. Mm-hmm. And that was not a thing that would have happened like in a comment section when I was coming up. Like, they wouldn't want to see like Justin Timberlake doing like Britney Spears moves.
It's interesting because like the conversation about consent, I think, is separate, right? When we talk about like some of the nitty gritty about Naked Wasted. But when it comes to like the puritanical positioning of Housewives, Bravo fans' views, how much have we really changed?
I think that the internet has made it so much harder to be a housewife, and like they monitor themselves so much more because they know what the fan reactions will be. So it has made like a worse show because of it. Like, what that we wouldn't have gotten that Naked Wasted in this era because Tamara would have policed herself. Is that good or bad?
Yeah.
You know, like, yes, that is good.
And that's a very specific, it's a bad example because it deals with consent. There are other examples that do not deal with consent, but are examples of housewives behaving poorly and crossing gray area lines.
And so it's like, we wouldn't have got them, not because the housewife is a better person, but because she wouldn't want to face the wrath of social media. So it's like, so now we're not getting who the real person was. We're getting this manufactured person in response to fears of social media. So you're getting like a character upon a character. So you have your person and then you have your housewife's person, but then you have the character that you've created based on your housewife person to protect you from fan, like fan service. So, you know, it is a worse show in that aspect. But in some aspects, I mean, I still watch them. I think they are, I like the self-produced era, like the women who are really good at producing the shows. That's a talent. And I think that's really cool. And like, that's what Housewives has turned into, is no longer like a documentary of behind the gates. It is like watching people produce television in real time. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of fun.
It's honestly like almost a miracle that we still have Housewives giving us Housewives content of people behaving poorly, because you have to know that like a part of you doing your job is going to be being received as someone who is hated by the Bravo audience or dragged to hell, because we're weighing your behavior against the reality, for some of us, a reality where actions have consequences, or we just like judging people for kicks. But a part of your job responsibility is like, behave poorly, do things you wouldn't do in normal life.
Yes, make a good television program.
Make a good television program by showing us you can be a bad person, but then we fucking
eat them up,
you for being a bad person, because we're weighing it against and having real conversations of like, let's not do this. And this is an example of that and yada, yada, which is all fine and good to have those conversations. But it is also an impossible situation to be in. They're set up to fail. It's a little too big to
fail. It's y'all's fault.
It's
all y'all's fault. All you podcasting people.
But also there's so much. I mean, you're not wrong, but also there's a lot of opportunity in having these conversations and being like, why does Tamara
YouTubing this?
Shut up.
like we should, there should be a camera in here in this closet. Y'all, she put on makeup and did her hair today.
I washed my hair, which is different from doing it.
So you didn't put any product in that?
No, I have something, so it's not like Frizz City.
Okay.
But like, I didn't do anything to it. My hair is naturally wavy curly.
Okay, see, I never see that because she just tumbles out of bed and opens the door and yells at me down the stairs like, come up! She didn't even yell at me down the stairs. I had to knock on the door for the first time ever. I've never knocked on her door before. This is the first time ever.
I was distracted. I'm usually in a robe. You know this. I usually record literally. I was like, I just took a shower. You're welcome in advance. Come on into the closet.
This is the first time I've ever knocked on the door in however many years that I've been coming to the Upper East Side.
That's fucking wild. You know, I was just having this conversation. This is so funny. I'm going to talk to a friend about this after and say that you mentioned it, because we were having a conversation yesterday about like, there's just a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes and like making some changes and adjusting things and growing, hopefully, the podcast, which I'm thinking about now that, you know, it's 8 years old. So start to think about that.
It's in third grade.
I know.
Crazy.
Not yet cursive. When is cursive? Fifth? Oh, it's no longer a thing.
Yeah, but it was third grade for
us. Oh, just kidding. Yeah. Not fifth. Whatever.
Mrs. Long, that was my third grade teacher. She taught us how to write cursive. Actually, my sister taught me to write in cursive before I could write in print because she thought it would be easier not having to pick the pencil up. Okay. So I could write in cursive before I could write in print.
I don't remember. Mm. But I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday of like maybe starting to video it. But yep. I was like, but I have to look like shit. Like, is that okay?
Why do you have to look like shit? You got all these fancy things.
No. Well, first off, I would want the quality to be good, but I don't want to feel pressure to like put on makeup and be that person who always like looks a certain way because that's just not my personality. Oh,
so you want? Like, I want to continue to look like shit, kind, like couch vibes.
I want it to be okay that I am recording in a hoodie and like sweats and living my best life because I am not the personality type of someone. I'm just not going to do it. It's like when I first started to think about if I want to do a podcast or something in video, and thank fucking God I did a podcast because this wouldn't have existed past the first episode if I had done video. But I don't want. It's just not my, I want whatever this is and maybe turns into to continue to be organic, and I don't want to put on a performance.
Yeah, so why can't that just be part of the podcast? Sure. Like today, you're like completely different. And it's like, yes, I have on makeup and I wash my hair. And that would be a thing. And you would like, look, today I did this.
I love that the Cinderella is me washing my hair and you're like, she looks completely different.
Well, she did. I thought she like went out last night and like slept on her curls look great.
So that's so funny that you reference that, cuz I had a full on conversation, like detailed conversation about it, cuz it's something that I want to do, but I also,
and then when you get a blowout, it's like, look, I got a blowout today. Look, you know, isn't
I
love it great?
The blowout, I would be like, bella the ball. Yeah. Then I would put on makeup.
And then the next week I was like, all right, the blowout's gone, I put my hoodie on.
100%.
Like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I'm thinking about, but I do also wonder if how much more of an ask that is to guests to be like,
oh, to have people come be on camera.
Quote, and also the I would have to figure out, I'm very, very focused on the tech of it all because I don't want to do something that looks that I'm okay looking like,
but it needs to quote look unquote, high quality. On shit.
Right. But I would want the video to look high quality. And I'm very, very behind in everything that's related to tech, but I did not realize how many people watch podcasts on YouTube, except that there is a podcast that I've become newly obsessed with and I have gone through. They have like maybe 200 episodes or more. And I swear to God, I've watched 50% of them in like the last several weeks. And I watch all of those on YouTube because I like watching their reactions. It's not something that I would listen to. So I know, and I have the Clawfist. So it's like I have a Bravo wall here that nobody ever sees, because when I do Zooms or anything else where stuff might come up on social, I like the background of the dresses and all the Manolos.
Right,
so
I'm going to take a picture of her in front of her Bravo wall today.
Maybe we'll do a selfie.
Headshot in front of the wall.
That's so funny that you said that. Because I really was having that conversation. But also just the idea of doing the tech of like trying to figure out a camera angle, and also the Clawfist is in and of itself a small ish room. So I know
this is a one bedroom size.
Yeah.
That's not small.
Oh, okay. Like, well, it's not a studio.
The Clawfist is the size of a bedroom. That's not small.
Yeah, that's true. But also I'm an independent, you know, it's additional stuff that I have to figure out with money that I don't necessarily have.
So check with your accountant about writing that off.
Oh, no, he would be 100% in it. Yeah. He's like, can we start that now? Like, yeah. Literally. Like, I would have to really
something
figure
to think
that
about.
Out. Yeah, but no, but it is something that I want to figure out. I often come from a place of no a little bit. It's like, no, I try to... It's not great, but it's my responses to things often are like, no, I can't do that because I won't be good at it for all the tech and everything else, versus like, this is an opportunity. And also just give yourself grace that you can learn. And it's okay not to be great from the beginning, but I'm often pushed back from people of like, this isn't good. And at a certain point, it does.
That's why you and Shannon are besties.
How do you not know that? How do you not fucking know that?
That's why you're all our besties.
I have the thing in my head where I'm constantly assuming that people think the worst of me, and that, God forbid, that might be related to reality. 100%.
Well, that's why I've never had a birthday party, because I feel like nobody will show up.
When is your birthday? If you say it's tomorrow.
Already passed.
When was it? Was it last week?
No, it was last month. But yeah, I've because I grew up in a cult and we weren't allowed to have birthday parties. And then when I escaped the cult, I was like in boarding school. So and my birthday's in August. So it was always like right around the time you start school. So I was like, all right, well, this is weird. And then I was in college. I was like, well, I don't need a birthday party now. And so then after college, I moved to New York. I just never had a birthday party because I was like, nobody will come.
We're going to go out to drinks. We're going to go out to drinks. I can only do a round because where I want to go is going to be $1 million, but we're going to go to birthday drinks.
Yeah, there are people who are like, hey, like, come over, like, I'll make you dinner. But like, you know, like a traditional like birthday party where people come, you have a cake and all, like none of that. But I do things. I was in L.A. for my birthday. I was at Six Flags, Six Flags Magic Mountain on my birthday with my friend from Toronto.
That's nice.
So it wasn't for my birthday, but it just happened to be on my birthday.
Well, I feel like there's a part of us, and I'm so sorry that you experienced that. But I think that there's something
about...
Yeah,
it's not a true thing. I know people will show up. I know so many people.
But it's the way that trauma embeds and then releases the projection.
Abandonment trauma.
100%. But also, like, I've had that where I've had years where, like, I'm like, oh my God, my birthday was, like, great. And then another year where I'm like, nobody actually did show up. Like, I literally, like,
see,
had
you
the
saying
idea.
That now, I will never
no,
do
I'm
the
so
party.
Sorry. No, no,
never
no, no. That's
party.
Not what
you
I...
You just said people didn't show
no,
up.
No, that's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say was the next line was going to be the lesson for both of us. And I'm speaking out loud and I'm going to come to that lesson just as soon as the words come to me. What I meant to say was, like, sometimes things do happen and, like, it might be an isolated incident where it's your worst case scenario that happens. And you know what? Life goes on.
Oh yeah, you still
it
make
does
it.
Not make you a bad person. It just means that maybe some of your friends were unavailable on that day because they were bad people and they should have canceled whatever they're doing to make sure that our birthdays are wonderful.
Exactly.
Which is not reciprocal because our birthdays are the real birthdays and every other birthday is a Google cow.
Yeah, because my birthday is Madonna and Angela Bassett's birthday.
Wait, you know what I need
National
to do?
National holidays.
What birthday is that?
August 16th.
You know what I'm obsessed with? Are you a New York Magazine girly?
No.
Okay, that's fine. I'm going to pretend not to hear that. So I die for... The New York Post historically has had an incredible astrology, and I don't know anything about astrology.
We're not doing any astrology.
Are we not?
No, we're not doing any of that.
You don't want me to see what the cut says about your horoscope?
No, I don't do the star cult. I grew up in a cult. I don't need to join
another. We won't do that. But if anybody is interested in New York Magazine...
Like, no, that's my boundary.
Okay, like, that's, you see how I quickly
that's my
was like,
Shannon.
And we're good. We don't need to do it. We're moving on.
That's me taking a
lesson
from
know.
Shannon.
I don't know what my rising or any, I just know.
I got my chart done because one of my friends was really, he still is, but he wanted to do my whole chart. Like, so I gave him like the time of day I was born and all that kind of stuff. And then he did my chart.
And how'd that work?
I don't remember anything on it because I just let him do it. I was like, okay, this is a thing that you want to do. Go for it.
We don't talk about it.
What's
that called? Astrological sign.
Oh, Leo, because it's August. So I know because it's August. Okay. But I don't remember what the other stuff was.
I don't know what mine are.
Yeah, I usually lie about my sign.
Why?
Because it's ridiculous to me. Who's coming?
The New York Magazine Astrology, whatever.
Can they hear that on...
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, that was Gina outside the door. She wanted to make sure she's still at a job. And I was like, Gina, you're fine, baby. You're sweetie. You're okay. You're okay.
Yeah, but what were we talking about?
I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Okay, I'm an Aries. You're a Leo or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Is that fire? No, that's not fire. I don't know how any of
I don't know what they are. One of my friends thinks I'm a Sagittarius. Well, I don't think he still thinks
that
so.
Water?
Like,
what is it? Water, fire, earth, right? Are those the three?
I don't know. That's
okay,
the craft.
We're great. We're yelling like, at us.
Earth,
okay.
Air, fire, water.
Did I say earth or
I don't know.
Air? I forgot air was one of them. Okay.
But yeah, like when people ask my sign, I'll just like throw something out there. And then
just
I'm
to
like,
fuck with them?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm a Taurus. And I'm like, oh, I knew you were a Taurus. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
That's...
And then sometimes I'll keep going, like they'll keep talking. I was like, see, actually, I'm an Aries. And I was like, that's just what an Aries would do. And I usually leave after that.
Whenever I tell people I'm an Aries, they're like, that's extremely Aries energy, which
I think that's what they say for anybody who ever says any sign. That's always the reaction. Like people will listen to this podcast and be like, oh, yeah, he's such a Leo saying that. Like that will be the reaction.
But maybe that's because it's based
no,
on.
It's
okay.
Not. All right. I'm like, if I had come here and said, like, actually, I just lied about my birthday. It's actually December 12th and I'm a Sagittarius. So now the people listening to this will be like, wait, that is just what a Sagittarius would do.
My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan Stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the office, all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea. So there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sauteed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I have some definite self-care non-negotiables. Number one, when temps go down, I need to have a daily stroll. Sometimes those walks are longer than on other days, but what's most important for me is getting outside. It's easy to let priorities slip, and that's where self-care comes in. And when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. I have been going to therapy since 2018, and there has been such a huge shift in my life ever since. It's the single best decision that I made for myself. It's helpful for me personally with positive coping skills, how to set boundaries with loved ones. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/AndyScrolls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/AndyScrolls.
Well, listen, from an Aries to a Leo to a, I forgot that Taurus was one of them. I don't know what they are. Capricorn to...
A Taurus is a Ford. I don't know. It's a mid-sized sedan.
Oh,
I don't know.
I was like, something Swedish? What's happening? Listen, this was such a pleasure. Yay. This was such a thrill. Any closing thoughts on our very quick 45-minute episode? You said, let's keep going. I said, babe, I'm
oh,
right
yeah,
because
we were going to shut the door, like closing.
And then you opened it, and I was like,
because
sweetie,
I thought I was coming
all
here
fucking day
to talk about OC, and we hadn't talked anything about OC. So I wanted
we
to talk about
it. Shannon. Just now.
Yeah, just
Shannon,
now.
Gina,
yeah,
Katie,
we talked about
Tamara,
it after
anybody we're missing?
The door.
How we feel about Emily before we close up shop?
The same as I don't feel anything about Emily. I just think she's so incredibly jealous of Heather. But I did like her like sort of vulnerable confession about the oversized jacket and all of that. But what she is, I feel like what she's about to do in the next episode, like the projection is going to like take me back out of it. I'm like, you have me on your team. I understand what you mean about wearing these outfits. But now somehow this is going to be Heather's problem because she made you wear jeans. Like, I feel like she is going to make this Heather's problem because she always makes everything Heather's problem.
Conversely, or additionally, maybe there will be the potential for these women to connect with each other. Not that it should come at the cost of like a screaming match or as a result of that, but like maybe it's possible that Heather might understand her more deeply than she would have prior to this happening.
If Emily has the ability to convey this in a way that's not that clip.
Don't you think she does? I 100% think she does.
She always just hollering at Heather and like making fun of her. And I'm just like, Heather is a nice person.
Heather can be obnoxious.
Okay. I would be
love
if I had that much money.
So would I.
Like, what are you talking about?
I would be like, let's talk about my porte-cochere. Right. Like, are you kidding? She's taught me so much about like wine temperatures that I don't use at any moment in my day, but I'm just so, I feel safe in knowing that Heather knows how to live for all of us.
Exactly. And like, I aspire to live like Heather. I want some nice lady to put tissue paper in all my luggage too. That is a great idea. I'm adopting it.
That's a great idea that's, I think, was intended to ensure that this new assistant knows Heather's way of living. But it's also like, look, I have a great idea of things that make sure that my Gucci sweater doesn't wrinkle. But it's also like, and you're going to be doing this with every single piece of shit that I have for the rest of your employment.
Right. Like, and that's fine because like Heather scratches that spot for me between like trad wife content and really rich content. Because like that is a very trad wife type thing. It's like in order to keep your clothes from wrinkling, put tissue paper in it, but it's a thing that only rich people would be able to do. So, and I love trad wife content because I am a trad wife deep down inside. I make my own granola. Like, I love watching that stuff. Like, the way that I decorated my apartment and like all the homemade stuff that I did in there, I was like, yeah, I got a lot of those ideas from trad wife content because a lot of it is just like old school adulting stuff that people just don't do anymore. So yeah, I watch it because I'm not in danger of being inducted into a Mormon cult because of it. Some of it's just really good ideas. And the making the granola has saved me so much money. And making my own cereal saved me so much money.
Cereal?
Oh yeah, you can make your own cereal. It's great. I make so many things from scratch because I enjoy
such
it.
Such different people.
It makes me, makes me happy. I love sitting in my little Wall Street apartment, making my cereal from scratch.
What kind of cereal? Is it based on one?
No, it's just like, yeah, usually they're based on something.
Like,
so
is
like
it
you're
like
making,
Cheerios?
Like you're making cornflakes. I'm not making Cheerios.
Okay.
But like you can make cornflakes or you can make like granola-based cereal. So I usually do like a little Raisin Bran granola mix that I make for my cereal. And I put it in my nice little plastic canister.
Can you send me a photo of that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you have to
my
shake
my kitchen
the
is
cereal?
All red. I know you mentioned like your
oof. Well, it's, I'm sure it's not what Toby did. So I'm sure that you're fine.
My kitchen
we're talking
is all red.
Garnet, cranberry,
I haven't
death.
Painted anything, but I am going to cover the cabinets in something. I think I'm going to do it like black. But everything is red. So like my canisters, my blender, my toaster, my coffee maker, my knives.
Oh, you should meet my mother.
Everything is red.
Wait, but back to the raisin stuff. Do you shape the flake of
like
the
you
corn
make
flake?
Them and then you cut them and
with what? Oh, like the knife that has the thing that's like a
like you put it on
bouncy?
Parchment and then you dry them out.
Holy shit! I don't. I'm like, do I need to microwave? Like, I'm
oh,
so
no, no, no microwaves.
No. I'm saying like when it comes to preparing something, I'm like, oh god, I have to like put it in the microwave for a minute and a half. Like, we're different.
Oh yeah. So like I like eat ramen. Like, I love to make my little...
With, like, packets?
No.
Like, you make your own packets?
I don't make the... Well, I make the stock. Like you would go out to a restaurant and get like fancy ramen.
Okay.
Like I make the stock with the fish sauce and the broth and all of that and let it cook forever and my shiitake mushrooms and like all of that stuff. You're making faces.
No, it's just I almost had a thing in my it wasn't it's like
I was no, throwing up
problem,
at the effort.
No, the problem.
Like, that was disgusting.
No, the problem with the ramen thing for me is I'm a vegetarian. So, like, there are certain experiences and cultures that I have not had the pleasure to enjoy because I don't have fish
and because stock. You don't cook. Because you can get, like, a vegetarian fish stock where it's just, like, the taste
okay.
to make your
is
stuff.
It, can I have noodles without gluten, though? Because I also have dietary restrictions.
I don't know. I don't have any dietary restrictions, so I don't
rude.
Look at
That's
what's
so
in
rude
stuff.
Of you like, to I have just, no dietary yeah. restrictions.
I mean, I'm lactose intolerant, but I don't care. My dad's lactose intolerant. Oh, I'll tell that story on the next podcast. It's like a whole thing.
What a to be continued. Literally, that's so AG coded of like, my dad is lactose intolerant, but that's something you guys are going to have to wait to hear about.
Yep.
That's the Andy's Girls version of spilling tea.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm extremely here for it. Listen, you know I'm obsessed with you. I love and more couldn't highly recommend that people visit overpricedvodka.com, which I absolutely said correctly. Did
yep,
I not?
You Thank sure you. Did.
Your writing is so interesting and always really fun. I love and respect your voice. I can't wait for us to have birthday cocktails, I guess, at the Tin Building, which I will talk to you about offline. There's some that I don't talk about on the show. I just think you are so wonderful and you are like one of the most charming people I've ever met in my entire life. So I'm so thankful
See,
for you
put
for
on
making
all this
schlep.
Makeup and as you're trying to charm me.
I sound like I live in a garbage pail.
No,
like
no,
I,
you sound like you're at really home and you're comfortable.
Yeah,
so
that's
like,
true.
Why would you put on makeup to sit around your house?
100%. But do you know what? I went with a friend yesterday to Sephora, and I realized I was behaving like a maniac while it was happening because I was talking to a gentleman, and then it was just like, show me the way because I don't know makeup. So I was like, yeah, what's like a lipsticky gloss that you would recommend? And then I just hold out my hand. I'm like, please, sir. Like, and then he's like, I like this one. I was like, well, that's enough for me. Like, it's just the strangest.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
You got to start somewhere.
All right. Well, the one that I wanted, they were sold out of. Oh, so I'm wearing a different one, but I don't think that I love this, but I'm not quite sure.
I thought it was nice. It's very like spring peachy.
He was very focused on getting me an orange.
Oh.
An orange lipstick. And I don't know why. And I think it's because my outfit yesterday was actually adorable. So, but it was giving spring summer energy. Very charade. But I, and you know, I am a girl who lives in joggers. Yep. That actually... experiencing joggers.
There we go. So now it's like a concept of makeup.
Yeah. And one day I have done the Sephora, the $75, which kills me, but I have, because like that's like to pay money to have someone to teach you how to do makeup. And it's gone so well. I've done it twice.
Oh.
And I have like a list of things that like I wrote down of like do this and this. And it still, it just is not my love language. I think it might be a generational thing. I did not grow up with like watching, like 8-year-olds walk into Sephora and they have like fully contoured, which is not ideal, to be honest, but like there has to be a happy medium. Someone needs to teach me how to do this because I cannot do that a third time.
Well, when they, you're not allowed to video when you're getting it done.
I didn't think about that.
Well, next time ask them, like, can I video this? Because like I get the written instructions, I always forget what the motions are. Can I video the steps?
Yeah, but also a part of it is we literally need to wrap, but part of it is the part of it is like the first person I had it with recommended stuff that the second person was like, oh, this is all wrong. And then I was like, but I just spent money on the thing plus the makeup. And she was like, no, these are not wrong. But like maybe the next time you do it, we'll do the right colors. But like in the meantime, we'll use what you. So I just really was set up to fail a little bit, but I love it so much. I want to do it again. But also the problem is like, there are certain things when things happen, I just get very sleepy because I'm like a little cuddled up cat. So like when you start talking to me and you're like touching my face with like stuff, I'm just so zenned out that
you
it's
need
hard
to be
for me.
It.
Yeah, I can't pay attention because I'm like, all this
is
so easy.
There's no right or wrong for makeup.
There's absolutely rights and wrong for makeup. Like, absolutely not, there are.
That you can make anything work. I've watched enough drag queens make fabulous like faces from CVS, just random drugstore things. Like there's no right or wrong for the products that you have to use. You just have to use them in a way that works.
That's the last part is the part I don't have.
No, but
I
that
can
second
do, I can
lady
make good
who
stuff
told
look
you
bad.
No, but that second lady, the second artist who was like, oh, all this stuff is bad. Like, no, That is not, you needed to find a way to make the stuff she had work.
No, she did make it work because she was talented. Yeah, she was able to make it work.
But that whole thing, I was like, you're talking to
she was
like
lovely. I don't want to speak ill. They were lovely people.
But like, you're talking to a makeup novice and your first thing is like, all the stuff you spent money on is the bad stuff and I'm going to do my best.
Yeah. No, but it was, that made it, that sounded worse than what I meant. She was lovely.
So
she
you
was
just
lovely.
Pulled a Katie.
I did.
Okay. See how easy that is to do? And I pulled a Tamara because I'm ready to go get her fired.
No,
see?
You.
Look how it goes. No. Look how it goes.
You know, but the thing with the drag queens is like they know they could use anything and make it look incredible because they're artists. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like you could use grocery
store. Artist.
You could use and there's great stuff at not grocery stores, but like
drugstores.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Please don't use like a banana. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, not for that. But like there's stuff that you can use. Now I'm thinking about using fruits as blush, and now I've gone into a different direction in my head. You can use stuff that's like inexpensive and a varying degrees of quality and have it look phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like that's impossible and frankly the goal, I would think. Yeah. But I just don't have that skill. It's just not my love language.
So
I'll develop it. I'll do a YouTube channel called Sarah Puts On Mascara, Watch Her Cry.
Hey, that's good. That's a good name. Sarah Puts On Mascara.
Listen, in the meantime, can you tell the AGs where they can follow you on social, read your amazing work? This is a verbal friendship contract a la Cynthia and Lanithia Leakes that you're going to come back to watch the, what was the Netflix show called? K-pop?
Oh, to come back and talk about it.
Yeah, what's the name of the
show? Oh, it's called Pop Star Academy.
Pop Star Academy.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm just overpriced vodka everywhere. So that's Instagram, Threads, Twitter, overpricedvodka.com. Yep, so you can find me there. Sometimes I write stuff. So I do have a job, though. So I'm not like a writer anymore.
No, you have an important job.
Yeah, so I write when I feel like it. I was like, oh, I have something to say. I want to write this fun thing. So that's usually when I write.
But that's the best way to do it.
Yep. So now I don't feel like pressured to like write about stuff that I hate. I just like, oh, I have something interesting to say. I'm going to write about it.
I love it.
And then see if anybody wants to respond to it in my stories.
Awesome. That's great. And also you're a freelancer as my financial advisor, which we love.
Guess
we love
so.
The journey. Speaking of journeys and finances, have you joined the Annie's Girls Patreon? It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes, including a live reaction to the Potomac trailer, including, of course, a lot of my thoughts on Orange County, because I just can't stop talking about those lovely ladies. That's up now at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Follow me on Instagram and one day YouTube, maybe at the same name, who's to say, Dame Galley. Listen, Raffi D'Angelo, thanks so much for coming back.
Thanks for having me. It was a nice little break for my day, and I'm going back to work.
And I am going to start watching that Netflix show.
Good.
And never think about Whitney ever again. Except to all of you who want more content from that Hulu show that I mentioned, the name of which I just forgot, even though we talked about it for 25 minutes. Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which you can watch now on Hulu. There will be a Taking It Personally where we will deep dive that a little bit more. And in the meantime, thanks to all of you for listening. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.